Hallelujah. How's everybody this morning?
Blessed and highly flavored.
Praise God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And God is good all the time, isn't he? Always making a way. I'd like to go to Matthew 24, please. Oh, praise God. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 24, in verse 3, it says, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. The end of the age is not the end of the world. It is the end of the age of grace. That's the age we're in now, grace. Grace is the plan of God to escape the deception of the enemy and the wrath of God. Because once the end of the age of grace comes, the wrath of God comes. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. Are there wars and rumors of wars? Yes. See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. That is associated with ethnic group. And one of the things that the enemy is promoting is racial conflicts. This is the enemy's promotion, not man's promotion. Because I truly don't believe that man truly looks at a person's color, gender, or the area of nationality. I believe that influences us from the powers of darkness to cause strife amongst one another. And it says the nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdoms. And there are conflict between kingdoms. Actually, they're conflicting one another. Who's trying to rule one another? And there will be famines. There are famines and pestilence. There are places where there is lack of water, lack of food. There are diseases that are incurable. There are flesh-eating diseases that are incurable. And there are earthquakes. I don't know if you heard about the earthquake yesterday. I think it was where? In Indonesia? Yeah, earthquake and volcano yesterday were tremendously devastating. And we're hearing more. We have more earthquakes in the year than we've had in histories. And it says, and these are the beginning of sorrows. So I want you to know that we have already entered the beginning of sorrows. We are in it already. There are three events that will occur. There's the beginning of sorrows, there's tribulation, then there's great tribulation. And tribulation is the next thing, and it says, they will deliver you up to tribulation, and they will want to kill you. You will be hated by nations for my name's sake. Listen, what's being persecuted right now is Jews and Christians tremendously, globally. There was more slaughters and killings. In fact, one of the things that was approved in New York City was a sign that they can put on a bus that says, I don't know if you've seen it yet, killing Jews is worship to Muslims or Allah. Now, you talk about promoting a hate crime. When you have a government that's willing to approve something, you know the Antichrist government has taken over. The Antichrist government is already here in position and has already taken over this country. That's why they're trying to bring us into debt. That's why our president even doesn't even use his real name. Come on, let's get real. It was changed over when he became a Muslim. Muhammad Hussein, come on. Obama, you think that's a Jewish name? You think that's an Italian name? You think that's an Irish name? It's a Muslim name. Hallelujah. Let's get real here. The Antichrist government has taken over. Their purpose is to fulfill one world order, one world religion, and one world economy. So they got to break down every area to become one. So they got to break down the governments, they must break down the economy, and they must break down belief. So their belief system associated with the Islamic rule is to behead. You don't believe in them, they'll kill you. That's a real choice. It's not the God of love, that is the God of hate. That is the God of deception, and that's the God of murder. And Jesus said, even told some of the Pharisees, your father is the father of the devil, who was a murderer and a liar and a deceiver from the beginning. The Islamic Messiah is called, what's his name? What is it again? Mahdi. And everything according to the Islamic Bible, the Quran, according to Mahdi, is the exact same as according to the Christian Bible as the Antichrist. It is exactly. People don't even realize that the twin towers that were destroyed and the tower that's brought up is now an Islamic symbol. It's known as crown. It is a crown. And it is the crown of Apollyon. And we'll talk about that next week sometime. But anyways, it says we are in the beginning of sorrows. It says that they will deliver you up to tribulation. And verse 10, it says, and many will be offended and will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up to deceive many people. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. There's much coldness and hatred right now. And I don't know if you can sense, you have to constantly battle bitterness. You have to constantly battle anger. It constantly is pressing all the time. It says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world and all witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of a desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains. That abomination of desolation is actually when the Antichrist himself, who Satan will put on flesh, and he will walk into the temple of Israel and declare himself God. And that will happen 3.5 years after tribulation. Then what's going to happen is great tribulation. In verse 19 it says, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days, and pray your flight may not be in the winter of the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days will be shortened. Now, I'm sharing this because there are signs and things that are happening. We're hearing about all kinds of things going out in the world right now. And we're watching prophecy be fulfilled. And in this prophecies that are being fulfilled, we're seeing the lack. There's a lack of warfare, spiritual warfare. More religion is being promoted than relationship. You and I are going through trials and tribulations because God is asking us to stand on his word, because many will fall. Many will not be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Many will be strong in their own abilities, strengths, and talents, and not the Lord's. And let me tell you, you cannot fight the powers of darkness in your own strength. You can only fight them in the spirit realm. We are watching things happen. There are many rumors. There are things going on. I don't know if you've seen on the internet about Walmart's closing. 50 of them have already closed overseas. 5 of them have already closed. They just shut down, releasing their people. There was a man who gave up and gave testimony because in his time of serving the government, he was involved in preparing all of these places. Because what his testimony is on this is that they were strategically placed all over the country and globally for a specific purpose. And that is so that at some time they could step out and the military could take over their facilities. They were also funded by the government. There are things that are going on that people have no idea. And they're living in their fantasy world and not seeing anything that's going beyond their own fantasies. And all of a sudden things will happen suddenly. Let me tell you, the devil is fattening people for the slaughter. And people are not awakened. One of the things that we must stand firm on, all of these things that are coming up, and people are looking for help and don't even know what they're looking for. We have come to a place right now because of the things that are going on is fulfilling a ministry. There's a ministry that must be fulfilled. It's called righteousness. It is the ministry of righteousness that must be fulfilled. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Would you read it with me, please? The ministry of righteousness. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for me and you, who are kept by the power of God. In other words, we are kept by the power of God. But you got to walk in the power of God. That's called the anointing, his eternal presence, power, truth. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, in other words, the genuineness of your faith, faith is spiritual sight. So we have to have a genuine, we got to be able to see things. So too many people walk on blind faith and not on true faith. True faith is to be able to see. When God speaks, we see. When the Word speaks, we see. Everything is about seeing. Jesus came to bring sight to the blind. And there are things that blind people, the ways of the world blind people, the lust, the greed, all of these things blind people. But again, we are in the areas of the beginning of sorrows. The next event is tribulation. You will go through trials. In fact, God prepares you for the next trial as you're going through the one now, whatever it may be. What's he trying to do? Get you to come to the end of yourself. We all have a tendency to survive. But until we come to the end of surrender, that's the place where we step in the area of trust. When we trust, we see things. We see him. We see him being faithful. We see him. We see the things. Our hope. Hope is future faith. So future faith means that you live from the future, not from the past anymore. In other words, your hope isn't in anything. You fight every single day for God's will to be done, for his presence to abide, and to make it home, because you're connected in the future and to be severed from the past. But see, when a person comes into survival, they're still trying to save the things behind them. Does everybody get that? And then they actually put their back towards God because they're so busy trying to fix their past, save their past, rescue their past, change their past, instead of grab hold of future where God has something new and better. You know, when God has promised us certain things in our past, if we didn't fulfill and cooperate with those things are gone. Don't try to revive something in the past that God has severed. You'll spend more time trying to revive it. You'll waste more money trying to revive it. And you'll be wasting and you'll be missing God when he's trying to show you what's going on now. Is everybody okay? So that the genuine of your faith be a much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Your trials are fire. Fire burns out the garbage. May be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having seen, not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, following, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So there's a genuine faith that's being tested, which is spiritual sight. Are you truly seeing spiritually? Or if you are blinded, then there's something that's, why is the purpose of not seeing? You know, people say, well, I don't understand these things. It's because you don't see those things. What you don't see, you don't understand. When you see it, you understand it. So in this, we see it all the way through. That's hope. Hope is seeing it all the way through. You see it all the way through. So then you're not living for you anymore. You're living for him. And knowing in this hope of seeing it all the way through, you have an inheritance right now. And we are kept by the power of God all the way to the end if you're walking in the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth. Go to Luke 22, the ministry of righteousness. Luke 22 and verse 28. So again, we're seeing many things that are occurring. We're seeing these earthquakes. We're seeing volcanoes. We're seeing pestilence, famine, wars, rumors of wars. We're seeing the things that are going on with the business world. We're seeing the closings of Walmart. We're seeing all of these things that are being manifested now. We are not only, you cannot say that, I wonder if we're in the last days. We are. We are in the last minutes. Luke 22, verse 28. It says, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow you upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I want you to know something. I hear this all the time. Oh, Jesus interceded for Peter's sifting. No, he got sifted. Peter got sifted. That's why Jesus prayed that his faith would be strengthened. He would hold on. He would stand firm as he went through the sifting. Believe me, we go through sifting. If you truly are a child of the Most High God and one who wants to serve him and follow him, you will be sifted. The problem is many people run when the sifting starts. They never finish. And then they still stay according, they still live according to the old. The purpose of sifting is to remove the ungodliness. It's to put us in a place where we stand on the promise of God. You know, in these last days, there's going to be so many things that are going to be happening. You got to stand on God's promises. You got to see things through. You got to hang out with those who are strong in the Lord. You want to be close to them because there are many people who are going to be running around like chickens with their head cut off going, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And your light will shine, and you better know what to tell them what to do because you're going to need to get the next command from the throne room of God yourself. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 32, and Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So we know Jesus, when he prays, he gets answered. He's going to answer his own prayer, man. And Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you have denied me three times that you may know me. Wow. And when he said that, and then he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. So we see here that your faith is going to be, you're going to be sifted so your faith doesn't fail. It's going to increase. Listen, sifting is an area where we are being willing to go through. It removes more of you. So it brings more of him. Listen, if Jesus answered his own prayer, God doesn't look at me and you as humans. I'm going to share this with you. He knows our frailty. Even when God became human, it wasn't really human. He brought his own blood. Why? So the devil would have no place in him. So he had to make his own blood so that the devil would have no place in him. The devil had no place in him at all. He was not born in sin. He was born in righteousness. He took on everyone's sin so he could go into hell because that was the only way. He had to have a sin card. That's how you got him. They use them in phones now. Facebook has got the number one sin card there is. But anyways, in this area where God had to create his own blood so that the devil would have no place in him, and in the devil not having any place in him, when you and I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's looking at his son abiding in me and you. So he's really not looking at me and you. He's looking at his son. Does everybody understand that? Isn't it the whole thing is that we come to the fullness of Christ and the stature of Christ? So when you become more Christ-like character, when the ministry of righteousness is expressed through you and you're fulfilling the ministry of righteousness, more of Christ is being established through you. His character, his desires. Now, God doesn't favor people, but he favors his son. He's not a respecter of person. Whatever trust you've earned, he'll give you, like in anything else. Does everybody get this? So that in this, he's looking at his son, his children. are the image. We are the offspring. In the spirit realm, you and I are all twins. We're all the same. The word says that even when we awake in his image. Every one of us will. Yeah. So these fiery trials for me and you are to bring us a place so that we stand on his word. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. You know, living from the past is a tormenting area. It's stressful. It brings guilt and condemnation. And it brings an open door to the enemy. He gets fed on people that live from the past. People are still judging things according to the past. Now, it's good for some of those areas because some of the things that we've done wrong, we want to judge so we don't repeat those same things. Amen? But I know until I was actually born again of the Spirit that even when I got remarried, I still associated my wife with my first wife. There are things that I just didn't, I wouldn't let her in my life because of my first wife. And there are people that are living together not wanting to get married because of their circumstances in their past when God has everything brand new. So we got to sever those things from our past and trust everything in brand new. We want to do things right before God. And we want to be ministers of his righteousness. See, if you're truly a new creation in Christ and all things have passed away and all things have become new, then you're not touching the things of the past. What happened yesterday is yesterday. Today's a brand new day. But what you are not cutting loose of yesterday is in following you today. Amen. So in our decisions that we made yesterday, we might have made some stupid ones. As long as you repent, ask God's forgiveness, it's under the blood. The only one that wants to meet you the next day is the enemy with it. Hey, do you remember what you did yesterday? And you go, oh man, I can't believe it. Sometimes it takes a few days to burn through all that garbage. But eventually you'll burn through it. But don't let it go any more than that. It's done and over with. Amen? Don't get in a place where you react instead of respond. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Go to verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Are we all there? Let's read it. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm the only one. I can't believe I'm the only one this ever happens to. Well, that's a lie from hell. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, adulterer, fornicator, thief, or evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters, because those are self-inflicted. Amen? That's self-inflicted suffering. That is not the suffering for Christ. That's an open door to the devil because you're refusing to shut the door and get things right. Hallelujah. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? For now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as to a faithful creator. Wow. The ministry of righteousness. Even in Genesis 15, if we'll go there for a second. Genesis 15, in verse 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. In what? In a vision. So God spoke, and what happened? He saw. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Oh, man, praise God. We all need a visitation like that, huh? And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? Okay, that's cool. You're my shield, and you're my great reward. What you got for me? Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, You have given me no offspring indeed. One born in my name, in my house, is not my heir. Wait a minute. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring indeed. One born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look, Abram, now look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And it says this, it says, and Abram believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Why? Because when he believed, he obeyed. He believed, he saw, he did it. He obeyed. So I want you to know that obedience to the command is called faith. Why? Because this faith produces righteousness. So when God speaks, you see. That's called faith, because faith is spiritual sight. But when you obey what you see, it will produce righteousness. And that's what was accounted to Abram. Because God spoke, Abram saw, he said, okay, I believe. Now I'm going to believe, I'm going to act on it. And by acting on it, he was putting his faith in action. And the fruit of the faith in action produced righteousness. Is everybody with me? Is anybody with me? Praise God. Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9. And an angel visited Daniel and was informing him of things to happen. And in verse 23 he says, at the beginning of your supplications the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Man, we need to hear that every day, don't we? Man, the enemy just loves to beat us up. Self loves to beat us up. Because self is trying to cut loose from you and take you over again. So it tries to beat you up to cut you loose so you give up. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in the everlasting righteousness. There's an everlasting righteousness that is coming. To seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Holy One. So this everlasting righteousness could not come until Jesus came, because he is the true righteous one. Know therefore and understand that from the beginning, from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 70 weeks, and that's been accomplished. And then it says, and there shall be 70 weeks and 62 weeks. We haven't fulfilled the 62. We're working on it now. The street shall be built again in a wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end shall be with a flood until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That will be 7 years. That 7-year treaty has not been signed yet. This is what you and I are waiting on. That 7-year treaty will be signed by the Antichrist spirit, promoted with this false prophet. The false prophet will come out of Catholicism. He's already here. The Antichrist spirit will come out of Islam. Hallelujah. And it says, but in the middle of the week, in the middle of this 7-year treaty, he shall break an end to the sacrifice and offerings. Wow. In other words, he will break the covenant. He will lie of this treaty. He will no longer hold on or commit the treaty. And this is when Satan himself will put on flesh and step into the sanctuary of the temple and declare himself as God, because he's changing things around. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolation, even until the consumption which is determined is poured out on the desolation. So again, on this here, I want you to see that there is going to be siftings, there will be fire to bring in the ministry of righteousness. And this is where you and I are right now. That's why there's much persecution. That's why all kinds of things are going on, because we are fulfilling the ministry of righteousness. But if you ain't righteous yourself, you cannot fulfill the ministry of righteousness. Now, it's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness. So the only thing that allows that righteousness to be manifested in me and through me and in you and through you is to be spiritually positioned. Has everybody got it? Go to Psalm 15. In verse 1 it says, would you read it with me? Lord, who may abide in your table? And this is a place of protection. So when things really start to happen, it's our most important thing is to get close to God and hang around those who are close to God. Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks what? Uprightly and does what? Works righteousness. In other words, he lives because he's fulfilling the ministry of righteousness. He's working righteousness. You can't work righteousness yourself. You must cooperate with the Spirit of righteousness. Amen. Who speaks the truth in his what? Heart. In his own heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised. In other words, he does not associate with those who are out of order. But he honors those who fear the Lord, reverence, honor, and respect, who desire to be in order. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, we don't change. We don't compromise. I've lost many friends because I won't compromise. I've done many things that people were hurt and offended because I won't compromise. I allow myself to stand before the Lord every single day. And that's what you and I must do. I will not compromise. And sometimes it sounds shrewd and hard, but I won't compromise. And neither should you. He who does not put out his money for usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Never be moved. How many of y'all don't want to be moved? Amen. You want to stand strong in the Lord. Well, then you need to start getting in that place. It's a spiritual place of position. You know, what happens when our children see things going on and going, Mom, Dad, what's going on? What do I do? Call 911. All right. They're not going to help you. The police aren't going to help you. The military isn't going to help you. There's only one help, and our help comes from the Lord. That's it. That's it. Go to Psalm 9. Hallelujah. In verse 1, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your what? Presence. Why? Because the anointing. The anointing. That's the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. For you have maintained my right in my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. He judges in righteousness. So he will judge me and you according to righteousness, not according to cause or purpose, according to righteousness. In other words, we want to get into a place where we want to see what God sees. So when we self-examine, I want to see what God sees. Why? So if I'm doing something wrong, I can put it under the blood and then correct it. Not just put it under the blood and continue to repeat it. That's not under the blood anymore. What happens is we take it from under the blood then. It's no longer covered. It says, you have rebuked the nations, you have destroyed the wicked, and you have blotted out their name forever and ever. So he is preparing the world for judgment by his righteousness. So for me, if he's preparing the world for judgment, then you and I need to maintain the ministry of righteousness so that people get in line with righteousness so they're not judged according to the world. They are rescued from it. In Psalm 24. In verse 3, would you read it? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a what? Pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. In other words, you've not lifted up your soul to yourself. You have moved yourself and your desires and your will, your motives behind you. And you've put Christ before you. What good is to have all the materials of the world and stand before God and him say, you see all of those things that I blessed you with? Why didn't you use them for my kingdom? Why didn't you use them for my glory? Why? You've stored up your treasures in warehouses. Why didn't you feed my people? And that's what we will stand before God in everything. But we stand before him every day. See, we stand before him that right now, every single day. Just because you don't see him and because your ears are shut to him or your heart is closed to him doesn't mean he's not telling you and speaking to you and standing before you trying to rescue me and you every single day. He who has clean hands and a pure heart doesn't lift up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. In other words, who want to see him. Amen. In Malachi 3, ministry of righteousness. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 2. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord the what? An offering in what? Righteousness. Then the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, in the former days. I will come near you for judgment, he said. I will be swift. He will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien. Now, these are not aliens that the world talks about. These are immigrants, people that are not of the same culture or of the line of Judah. In other words, heathens. Make it simple. Gentiles. You and I are no longer a Gentile. I'm not Jew. I'm not Gentile. I'm Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm no longer Italian or anything else of this world. Hallelujah. It says, because they do not fear me, says the Lord. So he will be bringing judgment because they don't reverence him. Because if they reverence him, they would be doing what promotes righteousness. Amen. He's coming. And everything that he's preparing me and you for now is to promote his righteousness in us and through us. And prepare us for the next trial. Because there is nothing, everything here is a trial. Listen, you live in a world that's ruled by darkness. There's trials every day. In Romans 6. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Preparation. Verse 12, let's read it together. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Well, if it does, you're not in position. You're out of position. For you are not under the law, but under grace. God, why? Because God's grace is the plan for you and I to escape the deception of darkness and the wrath of God. And that puts us in position because we're abiding according to his word, his promises, and his covenant. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to what? Righteousness. So remember, we go back again to the Lord spoke to Abraham. Abraham saw what God said. And because he began to move on it, it was counted as faith. And as he completed, as he obeyed, that obedience produced the fruit of it was righteousness. Same thing here. Or of obedience leading to what? Righteousness. Amen? In 1 John chapter 3, ministry of righteousness. In verse 7, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, let's speak it together. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God doesn't sin. That's a spiritual position. It's called a born-again state of being. So when the enemy gets you out of position, you know what happens? We sin. Yeah, man. Whoever has been born of God doesn't sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he's been born of God. So when you are taken out of that spiritual position, of that born-again state of being, you sin. Amen? For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteousness. Don't marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Why? Because the world does not know righteousness. The world only knows good and evil. It does not understand righteousness because the world has no faith. It has faith in self, and that produces blindness. Does everybody get it? It has faith in self and produces blindness. Only faith in Christ, because you see him, that's why his word is true. It reveals him, it expresses him, it exposes him. It brings image. That's why he spoke in parables also, because there was all parallels. Only faith in him can produce the righteousness. Because when he speaks, we see. When we see, we obey. And the fruit will be righteousness. Does everybody get that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go a little further. Ephesians 4. So we need the anointing, don't we? Eternal presence, power, and truth. And that's a place. Now listen, because we are servants to the anointing, that means the anointing doesn't follow you. You follow the anointing. Everybody got it? The anointing doesn't follow you. You follow the anointing. Just like the fire by night and the cloud by day. What happened? When it moved, they followed it, didn't it? So that means that you and I must be led by the Spirit to maintain the anointing. And those who are led by the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God, which is the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. So it says here in verse 20, you have not so learned the anointing, or you've walked away from the anointing. If indeed you have heard from him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the what? Old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's our responsibility to put on Christ, and we do that by getting into God's presence. Is everybody okay? Put on the new man, righteousness and holiness. Go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now the Lord destroyed the earth with flood. Is everybody with me? 2 Peter chapter 3. And the purpose he destroyed the earth with a flood is because of the wickedness that had taken over. And the only true DNA that was left was Noah and his sons. Everything else was contaminated. It was now corrupted DNA. And he said that he'd never do that again, so he showed Noah the rainbow. And that was a covenant to mankind. He said, I will never destroy the earth again with water. Not that we don't have floods, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, things to that degree. But he won't destroy the whole earth with water, but he will destroy the whole earth with fire. In verse 10, would you read it? But you have carefully followed my... Is everybody there? Oh, I'm in... Wait a minute. I got to go to Peter. I'm not there. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 10. Glory. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Let's get there. There we go. Okay. But the day of the Lord will come as a what? Thief in the night, in which the heavens will what? Pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be what? Burned up. Therefore, since all these things must be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So we are walking in the ministry. We are fulfilling the ministry of righteousness, which is actually in the arena that will come, because what produces the righteousness, you and I go through the trials through fire and sifting. Amen. And in this fire and sifting, which is purifying me and you, making less of us and more of him, causing us to stand on his word and his promises, causing us to increase our faith, bringing us from one trial to another, producing righteousness, so the all creation will eventually be produced and dwell in righteousness through fire also. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, ministry of righteousness. In verse 21, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Again, that's why Jesus said, feed on me. Feed on his faithfulness. Trust in him. Commit to him. Trust, rest, and wait on him. In verse 21, would you read it with me? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that's from your past, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. And avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Of God, perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by them to do his will. So there's that place where we must be willing to turn, to cleanse, to be cleansed, willing to step on the potter's wheel, willing to allow him to crush us when we need crushing. Why? Because it's going to produce a new man, a new woman. Hebrews chapter 12. Many people step on the wheel and get thrown off because they don't want to stay on. They jump off. They scream. You put them in the fire and they start running to the door because their heart really isn't to do the will of God. They're talkers, not walkers. They can preach, but they can't walk. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. In verse 3, would you read it with me? For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons and daughters. My child, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son and daughter who he receives. If you endure his chastening, God deals with you as his sons and daughters. For what child is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons and daughters. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So you can expect counsel, correction, direction, chastening. You can expect rebuke. You can expect it. But that's okay. What's the purpose of it? To keep us in position. Come on, get back in position. Repent, get back into position. Let that go, get back into position. Quit building your own house and build my house. Does everybody get it? It's the coming out of self. And I want to close at 1 Peter chapter 4. Ministry of righteousness. Let's speak this together. Verse 1, 1 Peter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the what? Same mind. Arm yourself with the same mind. Think the way he thinks, according to his word. For he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live for the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be what? Serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to it one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the ministry of righteousness be manifested in us and through us, that the world may see you in us and not us. May our works be according to your will and not our own, as we cast our cares upon you and commit to you our works, that they would be and according to your will and your way. In Jesus' name.